Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars together, you and I. Or we can.
Hiya, boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. The opening topic of tonight is Republicans Love to Lose. Republicans, or as I call them, re-puppies. I open up Newsmax today, and there's a Rasputin poll. It's supposed to be Rasmussen. I call it the Rasputin poll. Rasmussen is pretty accurate, and he says Huckabee leads the 2012 poll. So that prompted me to write my epistle, Repuppies Love to Lose. At a time when the nation needs a patent for president, the Repuppy Party, including Bill, I was on the Bill Maher show, Frist. Remember him, the spokesman for the Repuppy Party? Dr. Frist. Orrin Hatch is no match for anybody. He led Ruth Bader Ginsburg to her Supreme Court seat by the hand. Mitch McConnell, who voted to let the flag burn along with 40 Democrat senators and Arlen Spectacle 40 days before 9/11. That's all we have. Oh, don't forget Freddy Krueger Luger, the Repuppy Party's answer to Frank Loudmouthberg, the Democratic gun controller. Did I mention Olympia Snowjob? Does she still wear Dorothy's red shoes? She looks like Ruth Bader Meinhof Ginsburg in a green dress. Did you know that her and Max Baucus voted to bayonet full-term American kids exiting the birth canal? Now they're working on your hospital coverage, and their motto is, if they can't feed themselves, they can't live. Watch out, Obama. You are a political fetus. Only 9 months in office, you are full-term, and if we can see the papers, you may qualify as an American candidate for abortion. Why not? You voted for Kitty Death by the Sink when you were state whatever. So, now they're going to give us Huckabee just when we need a wartime consigliere. And I just watched O'Reilly tonight, and he has two liberals on, Hennigan and a crazy woman, and they're talking about Obama's indecision and why it's good that he doesn't jump to conclusions about the war in Afghanistan, even though he's the one that said we should be there and not in Iraq. Now they're using a ploy. This is how your government plays you like a fiddle. They're going to abandon the 40,000 troops there. They're going to isolate them. You see, it's like they were in the black hole of Calcutta. And what they're going to do is they're going to get the conservatives in an uproar, and the conservatives will call for the pullout, and then they will hand everything back to bin Laden, who killed 3,000 Americans on 9/11 and was the second in line for the Nobel Peace Prize. 40,000 Americans are getting the Corregidor treatment in Afghanistan, while the mistake makers try to kill Mohammad Karzai. You notice in the media he's fallen from grace. His votes have been crooked. And now they're going to DM Karzai and do bin Laden's work. Yeah. Surely that we can get with Karzai and Abdullah and say, guys, the American government is trying to kill both of you. Can you get together and hold off the onslaught? Or do you have to independently die separately? Yep. A word to the wise. Karzai and Abdullah, you better get something going, because the party of death is using you as an excuse to pull out, and they're going to leave you at the mercy of the Taliban, which I know you're already making deals with, because you know that the party of death is not to be trusted. And I don't blame you. And if you don't believe me, just ask Poland and Czechoslovakia. Hitler hasn't made as many moves in his first 9 months of office as Obama bin Laden has made. Hitler didn't take Poland until after the first year. 40,000 Americans are getting the Corregidor treatment in Afghanistan, while the mistake makers try to kill Mohammad Karzai, and the Alamo excuse for no reinforcements is Davy Crockett will do just fine without help. And winter is settling in. And that'll be the next excuse. We can't send them because it's snowing. The relief column won't be there till spring. And then we'll count and see how many are still alive. On my wall at home, I have a copy of the last transmission from Saigon saying we are turning out the lights. 10,000 dead Americans in Afghanistan. What a peace gift, a gesture to our new allies. Venezuela, Cuba, recaptured Poland, canceled Czechoslovakia, Nicaragua, and Al-Qaeda. And we can't even win an Olympic game in communist-occupied Chi-Town. You think about this. 2,400 dead fighting men in Pearl Harbor, December the 7th, 1941. In 1 year, we restored our loss. And 3 years later, destroyed our enemies on four continents. And the best that we can do, compare that to 9/11 New York. 2,800 civilians murdered in a minute and a half, plus 200 unborn babies who died with their mothers. But they weren't counted because they were inside the womb. And if you're inside the womb, you're not entitled to be counted as a human being. 3,000 Americans crushed to DNA dust, and 8 years later, we still have the hole in the ground. What does that tell you? The best we can do is imprison a Cub Scout who brought a knife, fork, and spoon to lunch and chase silver sky balloons for an entire weekend of news, while American coffins are being slipped back into Dover Air Force Base, draped with the flag that 48 senators voted to burn. Will your new government medical plan cover radiation poisoning? How about, will it cover your marijuana use? But radiation poisoning is not covered. In the Democrat trophy room, mounted on the wall, is the Republican cup, minus the strap, because the Republicans have lost their liberty bells. And the sad part about it is, we need a second party. We don't need a third party. We need a second party. Soon, the flagless ex-American motto will be, one nation under what's-his-name. You think about that. And think about this. We were all worried that the communists were going to take God off the currency. Ah, they bypassed that. They're going to take the currency off the currency. You're going to be using a European money, comrade, and that's how they're going to take God off the currency, because Europe doesn't have a God. I was thinking about Bush's first couple of weeks in office, and how high I was on his ability to be an American. And the first thing he did was he scrapped the Kyoto Treaty, which I loved, and it told all those international pirates teach your grandmother to suck eggs. And the other thing I liked was his appointment of a Supreme Court judges, and the scrapping of the missile treaty with the Obamites in the Soviet Union. And I said, man, we finally got a president with two big Liberty bells. And I even went out and bought a cowboy hat. and then it turned out my cowboy was only going to ride a bicycle. And then I, from that day on, I suffered from broken heartitis. And what happened to Bush is the left got a hold of him and threatened him. And they told him, you better not show any 911 photos and remind these American suckers that they were wasted on September 11th. You just better not do it if you know what's good for you. Our quislings in the media will destroy you. And he gave in to them. He acceded to their wishes. And do you remember Bush throwing out the ball in New York? What was it, the Yankee game? When he walked out, right after 9-1-1, we were still bleeding. We were still crying. And he walked out on the pitcher's mound. And we were all afraid that he was going to take a bullet. And you could see under his jacket he had a bulletproof vest. Remember? Remember how we all worried about him? How sad. Remember Rudy Giuliani? I got a picture of Rudy Giuliani kissing a crying Chinese woman right after 9-1-1. Now he's sitting with Mayor Bloomingdale, the mayor that wouldn't allow Giuliani a third term, and he's rubbing elbows with him. They're kissing cousins. That's why I say we need two parties in this country. We need a second party, because all the rest belong in the other party. Here's a flashback. I'm reading. It says, SSO Saigon to ASC Honolulu. Info, AFSSONCP, SSOPACOM. This station is closing now due to emergency. Alternate route, all traffic to SSO PACOM. You will be informed ASAP if operation is resumed. If not, this message constitutes our last man, quote, turning out the lights, unquote. That's Sinpac Communications. It's dated the 26th of April, 1975, at 10:46, or 22:46 in military time. And that's the closing of Saigon, the last helicopter heading out. There you go, America. And now Obama's going to do it. He's going to give the Russians and the Taliban another gift. He gave them Poland and Czechoslovakia, and now he's going to give them Afghanistan. And we're all going to stand around and say that was the right move. And you know what? When they give them New York, there'll be people that say it was better that way. And you don't think that can happen? Tell me where Rome is today. I was surfing the channels and I saw something that gave me a chuckle and I thought I'd share it with you. You're familiar with Mel Gibson's movie The Patriot? That's sort of clearly defined how the British and the colonials faced off and volleyed musket shots at each other. And you're familiar with Bunker Hill. And a quick story about Bunker Hill. That was my first theatrical appearance. I was in about maybe the fourth grade. And we reenacted the Battle of Bunker Hill in Catholic school. And I was appointed the British commander, the role of the British commander. And I had one line, and it was, "Disperse ye rebels, disperse." And so everybody was lined up, you know, the rebels were lined up, and I was lined up with my British troops. And I started the battle by saying, "Disperse ye rebels, disperse." And just as I said it, the entire class jumped me, including the nun. And so, after that, I only played a revolutionary. I learned my lesson. So, I'm watching this TV show. It's comedy clips, you know. Sort of like Second City Television, when they were in their prime. And this guy is playing a British officer, and he's got his men all lined up. And he's addressing the rebels. And he's saying... there's one dead British soldier on the ground. And he's going, "You fired out of turn. And now, just for that, we get two volleys." And all of a sudden you hear, bang, bang, and two more British guys fall. And he goes, "You've done it again. Now, just for that, we get three volleys, you get none." And you hear, bang, bang. And he's standing there with one guy. And all of a sudden, the next round goes over his head. And he goes, "And you're not supposed to be firing at officers." And the next bullet goes into him. And the last Brit runs away. And I thought that was funny. You know, the American way. Yeah, we're listening. You want to see the spirit of America? Tell an American there's something he can't do. You can't do that. I don't care what it is. You can't pick that lock. You can't go to the moon. You can't build the fastest plane in the world. And you can't win anymore. One thing about reading that we're turning the lights out in Saigon, you remember when all of those North Vietnamese tanks came into the city and the people were in a state of panic and everybody was gone? If that had been me, I would have taken out all of those tanks. We would have caught them right out in the open, and I would have said, "Hey, somebody just fired a round, and they broke the treaty." That's it, man. I would have given them a kiss goodbye, or maybe a reinvasion. You know, that's what the Romans would have done, right? Just ask Spartacus. What's that saying? All is fair in love and war? I would have called it Tit for Tet. Operation Tit for Tet. And watch Walter Cronkite cry, They massacred those poor North Vietnamese army. They fought dirty.
Hang in there. We're going to the regular show.
scanning the TV last night, and I came across a couple of users and abusers of their American heritage. One was George Carlin, who was canonized by the liberal left. George made his living introducing marijuana to college students in a comedic form throughout the land. And I watched his routine last night because we wanted to study the audience. And the routine that he pursued was the destruction of God, country, and family. I never saw a guy so bitter in his golden years as George Carlin. He even went as far as to curse his mother for the audience, saying that he couldn't care if she had her breasts cut off. How's that? That's comedy, huh? Yeah. Ha ha ha. I remember Carlin attacking, definitely he must hate elderly women, motherly figures, because I remember him attacking the pro-life movement, and he said, you ever see those people? They are old, wrinkly, and so ugly. Have you ever seen an abortion in a bucket, George? Have you ever seen the ugliness of child murder? What is more hideous? And speaking of hideous, I cannot believe the crap that Hollywood is putting out. Every other movie is a cut-em-up. I have never seen so much. I thought I was on the bridge at Fallujah. That's unbelievable how Hollywood can pass that stuff off as art. It is so sad. It is absolutely, totally sad. We are breeding a nation of Jack the Rippers who have no stomach for a real Mortal Kombat, but they'll worship a Hollywood actor who becomes governor of California because he can kill more robots. I hate people who have no skin in the game, who stand up there and say they're American. Never got involved. Never climbed the one flight of stairs to rescue anybody. Never got out of a squad car to save somebody's life. But you could knock police all day long in this country and get a Nobel Peace Prize. It is really sad. But Carlin, he has met his maker, Bo Pio, and I'm sure that he is in the black hole in outer space, telling jokes to an echo chamber. How sad. The guy totally wasted his life. He could have dedicated it to the common good. He could have left this world a better place, but instead he did a bitter exit stage left. Nobody has contributed more to the downfall of America, in my humble opinion, than George Carlin. And when you look him up in Wikipedia, says his mother left his father when he was 2 months old, and he never got along with his mother. He ran away from home a lot. Unbelievable. How sad. So he's a victim of a broken home. And instead of turning to the people that could make it better, he turned against them. He's the devil's critic. How sad. It's really, truly sad. And then I switched channels. And much to my chagrin, when I see this guy, as soon as he pops up on my TV screen, I immediately click him off. Bill Maher. But he had on his favorite communist guest last night. He had on Chris Matthews, Rasfanjani, the stormtrooper, Crazy Legs Matthews. And sitting next to him was Alec, I'm leaving America if Bush gets elected again. I'm leaving America again if Bush gets elected again. Baldwin, who who plays American war heroes, having never served his country, and then once again, another communist with no skin in the game. Says what's appropriate for the paycheck. Yeah, he discounts 30 pieces of silver. And as a prize, a door prize from joining NBC, you can get a free a set of Alec Baldwin snakeskin luggage for when you leave the country, too. I just hope America comes to its senses and gets rid of all of these, flushes the toilet with one giant flush, one super flush in 2010, and sends a message to all of the termites in Washington. Their term is up. And I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican, because none of them are any good. I caught a Republican defending usury with the credit card companies. He was saying that you have to charge the people that can't pay more. Yeah, that solves America's problems. Don't elect me president, let me tell you. The first thing I would do, I would change the interest rate on all credit cards to 5% maximum, with a 90-day notice before you can complain about the customer's paying habits. I would make the Florida Homestead Act the law of the land. Nowhere would anybody who bought a house and worked to keep a house would ever have to lose it. Let the banks write it down. I would get rid of all the lobbyists in Washington. The only lobby you would find in Washington would be in a hotel. If a lobbyist, Washington would be off limits. I would get rid of champagne contributions. The most you could send would be a dollar. Whether you're GE or Joe the Plumber, the most you can donate to any one candidate is a dollar. And that's it, man. Party's over. Go get a job. And I'd have full employment. And all these things are possible when Americans come together. I like to watch the book reports on CNN and the authors, not CNN, forgive me. They're the only thing you can read is Pravda. The C-SPAN and authors of different historical books, writings, explain the lives of certain heroes, Revolutionary War heroes like George Washington. But you know what? When you see the guy's a professor and he's, you know that there's a liberal bent into the book. Somewhere there's a dig, you know, like Thomas Jefferson, like chocolate. George Washington used to slip into the slave quarters for a quickie. Yeah, give me a break, man. Give me a break. And one professor was describing a British holder of a position equivalent to the Secretary of Defense under King George during the American Revolution, and he classified him as another Donald Rumsfeld, and everybody laughed. And I said to myself, okay, let's see the list of charges against Donald Rumsfeld. I have never heard anybody yet explain what Donald Rumsfeld did wrong. All I ever heard was he's no good. And that goes back to the old Democrat tactic, Mary is a whore. When a woman is giving you trouble, the first thing you do after you groped her and she brings charges against you is you label her a whore. And the Democrats do that all the time. Not only do they do it to women, but they do it to men. Rush Limbaugh's a racist. Isn't that the same as Mary is a whore? Rush Limbaugh can't own a football team in America? Who made that rule? Huh? Was he tried in by a jury of his peers? I told Rush Limbaugh, go and buy another team and don't count on partners. Do it yourself. Julius Caesar says it's better to be first in a small town and second in Rome. I'd find the worst, sorriest team in football and I would buy that team, and I would turn them into the magnificent, the new magnificence. And if I failed, the worst they could say about me is he bought a losing team, and he's still got a losing team. But I see Media Matters is going after Limbaugh, and they got him on the race card. That race card is still good. I can still sell those label machines to the Democrats. As a matter of fact, I'm running a special this week. I'm throwing in a thousand. If you buy my label machine for $10,000, I'll throw in 1,000 free racist labels, 500 free anti-Semite labels. Oh, by the way, when they were singing George Carlin's praises, the man who hated America, they compared him as a comedy king, equal to the number one comedy role model for the entire nation, Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce, who was a junkie and died on the toilet. You see, that's the way. If you want to be an idol in America, first you have to turn junkie, and then you have to die on the toilet. And then you can be canonized. Can I get some wake-up music here, please? Hillary Clinton pushed the red button today and gave, under orders from the head of the new Soviet Socialist Republics, Comrade Obama, gave Poland and Czechoslovakia as an appeasement package to save world peace. She has sold out two of America's allies. And she almost threw in New York, but she's saving that for Al-Qaeda. Yeah, there you go, boys and girls. You're watching the end of your country. You're watching bootlicking is going to be it's going to be 5 credits in communist colleges. You ever notice when the Democrats are running for reinfection, they always promise the students free tuition, comrade? And now I hear that Obama will not attend the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Gorbachev's going to be there. A lot of big wigs will be there. But Obama's sending Hillary, just in case he has to give East Berlin back to the Russians. East Germany. Alsace and Lorraine. And they're announcing in the bylines underneath the news at Fox that a brigade of 1,500 American troops scheduled to go to Iraq will not go to Iraq. They're going to go to Afghanistan instead. I think they're part of the 10th Mountain Division, and they're being reshuffled off to Afghanistan. And I said, look at this. We're so weak. We don't even have enough troops to cover two little countries. How are we going to fight World War III? And the question back to me was, will there be a revolution if the draft comes back? And the answer from me was, so what? We'll get rid of the unwanted. They're not going to be of any help anyway, so better we kill them now. Gee, I better watch myself. I'm starting to talk like Supreme Court Judgeette Ruth Bader Meinhof Ginsburg, who voted to get rid of the unwanted. But in that case, they were children. But that's okay. That's settled law, comrade. A lot of communists operate under the guise of comedy. They can attack the President of the United States, and everybody will say they're comedians. They can attack Jesus Christ, and people will say, well, they're just being comedians. And the comedian tag is the get off the hook. There is a beast with 5 fingers who passes herself off as a comedian. And her last name is Silverman. But she's not hi-ho. And she attacks the Catholic Church, Jesus, And I'm saying, what, is she hard up for material? Why doesn't she tell some Moses jokes? I'd like to hear a couple of good Moses jokes, Miss Silverman. Yeah. Go against the grain. I was at a party once, and somebody that I love comes up to me and says, Dad, one of my girlfriends is bringing her boyfriend, and he's a Muslim. Please do not tell any Muslim jokes. And I said, no problem. So when he walked in the door, she brought him over to me, and she said, Dad, this is Mustafa. And I said, a priest and a rabbi are walking down the street. And Mustafa was dating a Jewish girl. You see how we are all one big happy family here in America. He was 10 years older than her, and we believe he had a family back in Turkey. He was leading two lives. And he had a, and I really don't believe he was a Muslim, because he had a tattoo and it said death to Israel on it. He must have been, and he was drinking heavily. Yeah, that's us, one big happy family. Two bees are flying to New York, and as they cross the Hudson River, one bee puts on a yarmulke, and the other bee says, hey man, what's the yarmulke for? And the bee, other bee says, we don't want them to think we're wasps. Yeah, that's us, one big happy family, the melting pot. Now they're smoking the melting pot. You want to have some fun, do a survey. Check the local high schools and find out how many students stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And then think about this. The guys who are fighting and dying in Iraq and Afghanistan tonight were 11 years old when 9/11 happened, if they're 19. So why are they doing it? They're about the same age as Elian Gonzalez. And we all know what the Democrats said about Elian Gonzalez. He was too young to know freedom. And that's why we're doping him up and putting him back on the plane. Do you remember that episode with Elian Gonzalez? Where they were trying to seize him for Fidel Castro under orders from Havana. And Fidel finally sent enough money to pay off the Clintons. That was one of those packages that Eric Holder brought to the White House. There was a deal made. Yeah, we'll give Kennedy's the love boat. And they can cruise right into Havana. Just give us that little kid who was escaped with his mother. And his mother drowned trying to bring him to freedom. So what did they do? They used the old Democrat tactic, Mary Isahua. They labeled his mother a tramp. Yeah, she was fighting off sharks in the Caribbean to save her son. Meanwhile, her father was finally arrived in the States to reclaim his son that the Democrats were offering up as a Holocaust. And he stood at the top of the ladder from the plane, at the gangway, and he gave America the finger. And he was carrying a bag load of drugs to dope the kid up. So the kid wouldn't even know his name when he got back to Havana. And then they showed pictures of him in the classroom in his little white shirt and his red pioneer tie, little communist pioneer tie. He's going to be cutting sugarcane until he's 80 for Fidel Castro, who's worth $600 million, not counting the drug money. Yeah, communism is good for some, but it's not good for all. So it was Holy Week in Miami, and on Holy Saturday evening, they pulled a raid. What they did was they told the schmuck lawyer who was defending Elian to stand by the fax machine, that there was a message coming from Janet Reno, and instead Janet sended the message through the windows and the doors. And they seized the kid, And at the time when they were planning to kidnap this kid, the word was that the Cuban grandmothers were going to hide him in a church and declare and call for sanctuary. So the buzzword when they snatched the kid, because they were prepared to go get him in church too. You can bet on that, that there was a plan B. If he's in church, we're going to get him. And the buzzword when they snatched the kid, do you remember what it was? Bingo, bingo, bingo. Now, that's not Latin, but it's as Catholic as you can get. My brother used to joke that the church he went to was St. Bingo. But, so they snatched Elian Gonzalez, and they did it. They well planned. I mean, they couldn't have planned it better if they had planned 9-1-1. They picked Holy Week. All of the phony politicians, both Democrat and Republican, beat what they knew it was coming down. They all hightailed it out of Washington under the guise of vacation. There was nobody. They couldn't get a judge to get a court order to protect this kid. All the judges had their doors locked. So they whisked him up to Washington, D.C., and they put him on an Air Force base getting ready to be shipped back to Havana to the real President of the United States. And the Communist Council of Churches sanctioned it. And all the trade unions, comrade, they sanctioned it. And Geraldo Rivera said a son belongs with his father, even if his father is Charles Manson. Yeah. Geraldo showed his true colors that day. I never realized how much a Puerto Rican could hate a Cuban. But anyway, and don't you remember? They played the race card. They said that if Elian Gonzalez was Haitian, it wouldn't be. They would have sent him back right away. Right? They played the race card. Great, the Democrats really know how to play that race card. Ask Rush Limbaugh. Tell him to go out for a pass. So, anyway, they had the kid on a base in Washington, and the Air Force base, and there happened to be one hard-working Republican still in town. And his name, I think, was Bob Smith, and I think he was a senator from New Hampshire. He's an ex-Navy guy. And he has since been replaced by Comrade Sununu. A Sununu, which in a Russian means we will cooperate with the party of death. And Bob Smith went to the Air Force base, and as a senator, he has access to all military bases, except for the one in Washington, because the order came down from the President of the United States not to let Bob Smith see Elian Gonzalez, because Elian's eyes were rolling up in his head from all the injections he was getting to stifle him. And Bob Smith was denied the right to see an American citizen, because the minute that Elian put his feet on American soil, according to the law, as a Cuban, he is entitled to citizenship. He is entitled to sanctuary and protection. But, you see, when you got kids trapped in Waco, you can get an order to kill them from the President of the United States, as long as the Attorney General will take their full responsibility and intercept the gaffe. So now our allies in the free world are Russia, China, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Cuba, and our big enemy, the greatest threat to America, is the people of Honduras, because they threw out a politician who had exceeded his term of office. And you can't do that to people especially if their names are... this term limits has to be abolished. In California, we want... I want to be Kaiser. And then I will run for emperor. You lost your country and you don't even know it. May the Lord have mercy on your soul. Watched a good movie last night with Simone Signoret, a French movie about the Maquis. That's the French underground. And they followed the lives of about five French people who were in the underground resistance. And how one guy allowed himself to be captured by the Germans so he could get into a cell with a buddy and assist him in dying. He brought, they were taking, was it strychnine? I think suicide pills. And it was very sad. And you could see how the intimidation of a country works, like a country like France, where they use the police to do the work of the Gestapo. And I got to tell you, if you ever watched any of the Buchenwald, Birkenau, Auschwitz concentration camp movies, I think the seventh rung of hell is reserved, according to Dante, for those who betray a trust, those who betray children, those who politicians who betray their constituents. And I'm watching this concentration camp movie, and the Jews are being brought into the showers where they're gassed, and it's other Jews that are doing it to them. And I said to myself, and how can you do that? How can you allow the enemy to use you to kill your brothers and sisters? But it happened. And they were called, I think they were called group commandos. And the people that were waiting to get to the shower said, "Tell us, are we going to die?" And this guy doing an interview, who was a survivor as a group commando, says, "What am I going to tell them? They're not going to die? Am I going to tell them they're going to die? We'd have panic in there." Yeah, they wouldn't go quietly. And I often consider some of these politicians as a group commandos who will sell us out in a heartbeat. Going back to the Maquis and the French, these were real characters who actually lived at the time and worked against the Germans, and how they rescued one of their own. Eventually, they were all caught by the Germans and died, and that was very sad. And you see the years, like the early ones that were caught in 1943. And here, in 1944, here we come. And there was just a short time frame when, if they could have stayed underground or laid low, not be caught, then in a year or two they would all be freed by the Americans. But we'll never get credit for freeing Europe. And you know what? I don't know if we'll ever be able to do it again. I really see a skeleton crew of freedom. I don't see us as the power that used to be. I'm watching another documentary, and it's... the life of Porsche. I forget his first name, but he is the the Porsche car. He was the founder of that industry, and at the time he was a friend of Adolf Hitler when Hitler first came to power. And you could see how the people loved Adolf Hitler, because just before Hitler came to power, these people were starving. Their money was worthless. And this guy was rebuilding their country, and everything was for his people, for the Germans. And you could see how they got swept up in the euphoria of a new Germany. And he started to build the highway structure. And at the time, I think it was 1938, One out of 125 Germans owned the car. And Hitler promised them in 1 year, every German would be able to buy a car for 995 marks. And what he did is he sent Porsche to the Ford plant in the United States. And they showed actual footage of the Ford plant in the United States. And I got to tell you something. That Ford plant in the United States was humming, man. It looked more productive than the ones they show you that are modern. And everybody was working, and all those guys all had... all those guys were made of steel that worked in that place. And they were producing Ford cars. And one out of four Americans at the time that the Germans, one out of 125 owned cars, one out of four Americans owned the car. And I remember reading about Henry Ford that his first car sold for $895, and 5 years later, he was selling them for $99. How's that? That's American productivity, and it's been destroyed because it's part of the communist movement. Break the backs of the country, get rid of their God, get rid of their flag, get rid of their ability to produce goods. That's the takedown of America. And you think it's all make-believe because you're watching a Hollywood movie where Alec Baldwin is playing a General Doolittle bombing Tokyo. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is killing robots for America. And the real heroes are still spit on the airport, only it's more subtle now. You want to see an example of a group commando? Bill Maher. Bill Maher hates this country. He hates God, he hates country. He has the same mindset as George Carlin. Yet they all earned a living. Look at the Reverend Wright. He's got a $5 million house on Lake Michigan. There's a lot of money in hating America. What's Bill Ayers doing in Washington? I thought he was supposed to be in Chicago. If they say, please rise, salute the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance, how many will stand today? How many will stand tomorrow? I was, it's funny. I was watching that Revolutionary War review. And they were talking about that New York was occupied by the Brits. And it said that the Brits could, as they were in the big cities, but they couldn't venture out because the countryside was waiting for them. And they gave an example of, they gave two examples that were enlightening. One example was, two wagons with gunpowder were intercepted by the rebels, and six of the Brits escaped, and they were hiding in a farmhouse where an old woman lived, and the old woman turned them in. And somebody in Parliament said, if an old woman can take out six grenadiers, we're in trouble. We're not going to win this war against the revolutionaries. And it was only 25% of the country that stood up against Britain. Never forget that. That's what it takes to win a revolution. And the other thing was New York was occupied by the Brits. And certain housewives were spies for the rebels. And you know how they used to signal the rebels? They used to hang out laundry. And certain colors were certain codes, and they could send messages by hanging out the laundry. And I remember my uncle once telling me, he was from Scotland, that the Queen of England was visiting Scotland, and the police were coming down the street, the parade street, and an old woman had her nightgown out on the clothesline, and the constable said, "Mum, you have to take in the nightgown. It's not a battle flag." And the old woman said, "It may not be a flag, but many a battle has been fought under it." People do have a sense of humor. That's a God-given gift, you know, sense of humor. And George Carlin never thought about that, huh? I wonder what he does now. Does he just sleep in the ground and everything is dark? Is there nothing? Is there no light for George? What happens to people who don't believe in God? Does he let them keep believing that? Well, here's a food for thought. 1 out of 5 Americans is a drug addict. Oh, that can't be. Oh, no? You want to see the balance of trade deficit? I'll bet you we pay more for cocaine than we pay for oil. 1 out of 5 Americans is a drug addict. Now, they want to legalize marijuana because it's good for your glaucoma. 1 out of 5 Americans is a drug addict, and every one of them started with weed.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad, my father gave me nails and tweet and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word to say, we ate the nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. He traveled all around the world, and everywhere he went, he'd use his word and all would say, there goes a clever gent.
When Dukes and Martha Rogers pass a time of day with me, I say me special word and they play off me off to tea.
Woo! Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always have a go. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. But that's going a bit too far, don't you think?
Indubitably.
So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay.
Here
just coming up this word, and then you've got a lot to say. But better use it carefully, or it could change your life.
For example?
Yes?
One night I said it to me girl, and now me girl's me wife. Oh, and a lovely thing she is, too.
That's Julie Andrews. Julie Andrews, The Sound of Music. My brother used to call it The Sound of Mucus. Too good to be true, Julie Andrews. Nobody could be that good. Nobody could be that innocent. How do you handle a problem like Maria? The hills are alive with the sound of music. Climb every mountain. Right? These are all uplifting, God and country songs. Even if the country was Austria, it was love of country, love of God. Julie Andrews. So what did Hollywood do? They got it to go topless. They always build up an image and then they destroy it. It's a phenomenon. It's a cult. They make you worship their God and then they kill their God in front of your eyes. How sad. Julie Andrews went topless and destroyed the appreciation that a nation had for her. No longer was she looked up to. She was looked down upon. What a way to go, huh? What happened to hitch your wagon to a star?
If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Mostly always find someone to say they sympathize if I wear my heart out on my sleeve. But I don't want some pretty face to tell me pretty lies. All I want is someone to be. Tell me where else can I turn? 'Cause you're the one.